I'm an addict named Chris. I guess that's one way to get y'all to listen to the message and not focus on the messenger. Can't see me back here. I was sitting in my car before the workshop, and I was just thinking back about how my life was before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, like the day before I got clean. Just a lot of unmanageability, hopelessness, homelessness, assorted ass whoopings, you know, parents who won't let you come in their house anymore, friends who say, this the last time, you know, and then for somebody to think enough of my recovery to ask me to do a workshop, it's like a honor, you know. Thank you, Lisa. She said she was nervous. I'm nervous. I don't matter whether it's a meeting with three people in there or a workshop. I'm just nervous, you know, because when Gary called me and asked me about doing a workshop, he said, what's your idea of a clear Narcotics Anonymous message? And I said, the truth. You know, my sponsor taught me how to be honest. I got here. It was funny because Why Are We Here is probably my favorite reading. I remember when I first got clean, I made sure I got there early so I could get to reading. When they go to hand them out, you know, I didn't want the 12 traditions because that was too long. I didn't want Who's an Addict because it was too short. You know, I didn't want How It Works because I didn't want to share my reading with everybody in the group. And Just for the Day was at the end of the meeting. I was too impatient for that. So Why We Here was just the idea of reading for me. And it's funny, certain little sections of it just jump out, you know. Cunning enemy of life is what they call a disease of addiction, you know. And I can think back, I always think, I try to look back to the origin of when all this kicked off. I guess it's when I heard the doctor saying, push, you know. My shit must have started right out the gate, you know. But a lot of people don't know. I was born. I guess it would be stillborn. My heart wasn't beating. They had to use a defibrillator, and it broke my collarbone in the process, you know. And I'm like, damn, if this is any sign of what the life I got to look forward to, you know. But the good side of that is they put me in there with the preemies, and that's probably been the only time I was the big dude on the block. Yeah. I'm taking heat lamps. I got this. Look. But what happened, I was thinking back in junior high school, a camp. I think I was in camp. And we would go to amusement parks, like on a field trip or whatever. And I don't know about other people in here. When we go as a group, 9 times out of 10, when you get there, the guys kind of couple off. You know, and because I was shy and had esteem issues and all that stuff, I usually ended up with a straggler, you know, the leftover honey. And it was one particular time, the leftover honey, she was taller than me, but it was somebody that I liked anyway. So I was like, oh, this is perfect, you know. And we went to get on a roller coaster ride, and we going through the line, and I'm thinking the whole time, like, yeah, because she's going to be scared. She's probably going to lean on me, you know, put my arm around her. I had it all mapped out, right? And we winded through the line, and I was looking up at the front of the line, and they had one of them chart things, right? And I'm like, man, is that Fred or Barney, right? I'm like, shit. And like, so everybody cracking jokes and laugh, holding hands, holds. I'm thinking like, man, please be like Papa Smurf or Secret Squirrel, somebody, you know. And I got up there, and it was Dino, with that long ass neck. And they said, sorry, you can't ride, you're too short, right? And people like, well, since you ain't riding, can you watch my stuffed animal, hold my bag? So I'm standing out there with bags and stuffed animals and shit. But what I did with that is, anytime I saw something down the line, it looked like I wasn't going to measure up, I didn't even try. you know, whether it was relationships, jobs, school, whatever. And we were actually creating our own problems, is what he said in the reading. And that's what I started to do. And so I try to find things, because I couldn't live and enjoy life as other people do. And he said, we thought we had found it in drugs. Before that, I thought I had found it in other things. I always had to be the honor roll student. Either that, I was a teen club president in my church. I was a head altar boy, volunteering at Sums and Who's Who among American high school students. And none of that seemed to work, right? I was just trying all this stuff, getting a good, nice car or some, well, I still like clothes, but clothes, just all that, and nothing seemed to work, right? And then drugs came. And it was funny, because the first time I got high, we went to, it was Valentine's Day, which I guess is a perfect day, because I fell head over heels for that. And we was in the car, and the guy was like, you want it? I said, let me hit it. And the guy said, man, you don't smoke. I was like, yeah, just let me, you know, let me do it. And he said, pull it one time or something. And because I wanted to, you know, I had to be an overachiever, I pulled it like 3-4 times. It was just join a boat. I was lunching. But I liked that feeling. You know, it gave me courage to do a lot of that stuff I couldn't do before. You know, and I started using drugs, and things just got real bad for me. When I got to the program, I had a fractured knee. I was weighing about 135 ounces. This is like, I was weighing like 135. Like, I'm 172 now. I was like 135. And I was sleeping in the back seat of a car. And I got put out of homeless shelter. How you get put out of homeless shelter? Put out of homeless shelter. And I got here, and I was, I remember I went to treatment. That's how I got clean. I went to treatment, and when I got there, the person who was doing my intake said, I had all the paperwork and that stuff. She said, you can come in right now. But in my mind, I wanted to use just one more time, you know. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go get all my stuff, and I'll be back. And she was like, somebody can bring it to you. I was like, yeah, but they don't know exactly what, you know, what things I need and all that. She said, you can write it down. You can write it down. They can bring it to you. I said, yeah, but I need to let my folks know that I'm gone. You can call them. Yeah, you can call them. I'm like, nah, I didn't know she was, she, you know. I'm like, man, what the fuck? And I'm going to give her one more excuse. She said, Chris, if you're here, stay here. You know, January 26, 1999, you know, and I had used, the last time I used was the 25th, and I haven't found it necessary to use since then, you know, and the ironic thing is, the lady, the next morning when I woke up, it was a relief, you know, because I was able to sleep in a bed, you know, they fed me and all this stuff, and the lady never came back, you know, and I was like, was she an angel, or, you know, I'm trying to turn this up spiritual, and I got a brother that preceded me in his process, and he brought me to my first convention here, and I remember walking from the Castle of Sands back and in the parking lot, and all y'all was out front smoking cigarettes in the little group, and I saw her, the lady that told me to stay. You know, I had like a little over a year clean, and even to this day when I see her, you know, I just was like, I love you, you saved my life and all this other stuff. And she's like, who are you? I don't know you. She said, if it wasn't, trust me, babe, it wasn't me. It was God working through me. And that's what I'm realizing. God's using you people to get to me. Because he know I ain't going to come straight to him. You know, and it's funny because since being here, I've my life has just gotten so much better. You know, I began to do step work with a sponsor. I got in service. Go to meetings regularly. I left the treatment center and went into transition, and I did whatever they told me to do, you know, because I'm like you. I had went detox, inpatient, outpatient. I went through my health care provider and tried that. They sent me to some group like you. I was the only black guy in there, and it was like all white people. They had on ties and suits and shit. I'm sitting there like, what kind of, you know, and Man, he picked me. He's like, let me show you a demonstration. He had me stand up on a chair in the middle of the room, right? And he's like, hold your arms out like this, right? And he said, close your eyes. He's like, that's how I feel when you high, right? And I think I closed one eye because I'm like, what's up, right? So I'm in there with one eye closed and my arms out, and I'm like this on the chair. And what he did was he kicked my chair. I'm like, what the? He said, that's your first DUI. I said, no, this is my last group, right? Kicking chairs and shit. Look. Look. Y'all know who I am, right? Right? Any excuse to not surrender, you know. And I left. But anyway, I got here. My life has gotten better. I dropped out of college. First time I used, I was in college. And I dropped out of college and came back home. Because my grades was kind of failing. Like I said, if I see any signs that I'm going to fall short anyway, I just dropped out before they kicked me out, something like that. I came back home and whatever. I got a job. I was working at, I think, Ritz Camera or something. And then they had a vacancy for, they was hiring police in my area. So I applied for that. You know, I figured that would give me some status, some clout. You know, I get a gun badge. No more of that little Chris shit. You know what I'm saying? I was saying that. Let's go, people. You know. Out of here. Get off my corner. You know. Shoot. I remember I did that one day. Whew. Let's go. Shoot. Anyway, when I came to. Dude, knock my ass. Slam out. In front of all my partner, my female partner and all that. Chris. I'm like, look. Did they jump me? Did they jump me? No, it was one dude. He stole your ass. Right? Anyway. Damn. So anyway, there was like somebody said, look, you look kind of young. How would you be interested in working narcotics? I'm like, hell yeah. And so I started out watching people, surveillance and all that. Then I started buying drugs and all that. And I was a natural. I'm getting commendations and all that. And it was like, damn. I was like, hey, it's just, you know. But like you know, they would send me somewhere to buy something. I'd buy it. Then I go back, you know, and if I see anybody from my job, I can tell them, you know, they think I'm at work, you know. An addict going to work to pretend to be an addict. Talk about a double life, right? And somewhere in our literature, it says, rest assured what's happening on the inside, we become evident on the outside to others. And when I start getting them big dimples, you know, my face start, you losing weight? You know, shit, I'm like, I try to eat more and stuff. Stop cutting my hair. I'm pawning all my jewelry and stuff. And what I did was I quit. You know, once, because I ain't going to stop getting high. So I just quit. And like the disease is supposed to do, it got real worse, bad. So when I got back clean, I was fortunate. I was one of the people that had acquired a lot of things and lost it. So this, when I came into the program, I knew that things weren't going to do it this time. You know, so I thought. And since coming back in here, I kind of went back to school. I got one degree. I'm getting my second degree. You know, I went from sleeping in the car to buying a home. I'm like the third car or something like that. I didn't have a relationship. They said a year, I think, wait a year. I waited like 2.5 years. So they owe me. They owe me 2 relationships and a newcomer. Yeah, I got in a relationship that was horrible out the gate. She was fine. Relationship was horrible, you know. And we throwing stuff, putting each other out of cars and all that old drama. You know, and so anyway, we got married. And got married. Cause I don't know about y'all. That's you know. I still sometimes don't know how to live and enjoy life as other people do. You know, I thought I had found it in her. You know, shoot. Oh, she ain't had no kids, good credit, and fine. Shit. That's a little drama. You know. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta move out from time to time. Shoot. Became familiar pain. You know, I'm like, damn. And I jumped in it. You know, it was like, it was just some part of me in doing my step work, when we, particularly the sixth step, it was saying, one, love is natural. It's how we go about getting this, where the defects come into play. You know, I was going to any length. You know, I met her on Thursday, Sunday. I'm like, you think the baby gonna have my eyes or your eyes? You know, that type of shit. And anyway, we got married. She was five and a half months pregnant. And it's funny because this time last year, I was in a whole nother space. We got married in November, the year before last. Last February, we got the marriage annulled. Day after we got married, her water broke, the baby died. You know, and just a whole lot of stuff. And I truly know that I'm here because I could not have handled that situation by myself. I barely was able to handle it in here. You know, it's just people that just will not let you die around this joint. You know, I stopped going to meetings and, you know, the shame. Because, you know, I was taking her to every meeting with me. She ain't in the program. You know, if she want to go, you want to go to a meeting? You know, so she like, nah, we don't go to a meeting. You know, so our meeting attendance was not regular. You know, I couldn't leave her for no hour. Crazy. Hour and a half. Shit. One of her old boyfriends may call or something. You know, anything. Shit. But the relationship ended, and that's the space I was in last year when I got here, man. I was hurting. It says in Work Time Why, the step study guide, it says, sure, we're no longer using it. Many of the outside circumstances of our lives have probably gotten better. Our relationships are more stable, perhaps. But have we changed? Have we become better people? You know, and when Gary first called me, he originally had asked me to speak on complacency, the silent killer. And then he called back and said it was actually a mistake. And I got to do this workshop. But in that time between the phone calls, I began to look at my life and the areas I'm complacent in. Because the disease has affected me like threefold, mentally, spiritually, and physically. You know, mentally, I'm doing all right. I'm able to get the job, school, and making some sound decisions now. Physically, I just got a physical like last Monday, you know, and everything was on point, all the way down to the cholesterol level. You know, it's just something about when you get to the part about your blood stuff. I'm like, well, go ahead. Give it to me. You know, and then I got to the spiritual part. I was like, damn, I don't think I pretty much called on God since last year when the stuff hit the fan. You know, it's like I use him like the drugs, I guess, whenever I don't know. It's just that so I've been kind of focusing on that. This is a spiritual disease, spiritual in nature. And it says one thing more than anything else that would defeat us in our recovery is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. You know, meaning that the spiritual part is it, you know, the part that I'm lacking. And yeah, I got a house and car and all that stuff, but it don't mean anything. It's just not doing it for me. You know, I'm trying to fill the void with stuff like that. I did a meeting in last year. Somebody asked me to speak in Wago, New York. I don't know if anybody ever. It was way up near Buffalo. It was mountains. I'm like, what the hell am I doing up here in Wago? And the opening speaker, a lady was sharing about getting married, and she was 5 and a half months pregnant, and I started like welling up. You know, I was kind of getting mad, you know, and I was going to leave, and she shared how she lost the baby. you know, and afterwards I went up to her and I told her that I said I had experienced that same thing, you know. You stay around here long enough, you're gonna hear it, you know, if you open, you know. And she shared that, and I went to her and I said, Dad, I went through that same thing. And she said, okay, I'm gonna pray and tell my baby to play with your baby. I was like, oh. I said, well, my baby was a boy, so if yours was a girl, you may want to tell her. If you're anything like his daddy. But it just brought some comfort and some peace, you know, in knowing that I'm not the only one. In a lot of areas, I ain't the only one, you know. I'm just, this program is like the best thing ever. And I fought and kicked not to come in here, you know. I just didn't think it would work. I was in here like 2 years, I think, before I even opened my mouth. People were like, where did you come from? You from another area? I said, no, I've been here. You know, I would just get my paper signed and leave. You know, that was it. Come in, get my paper signed, leave. You know, I was even making coffee maker. Who the coffee maker? You know, I would just make the coffee, leave. You know, because I ain't want nobody holding a conversation. I ain't want to do all that stuff. I just wanted to give me the book. You know, I'm smart. I can piece it together, you know. and what happens, I went to a speaker jam they had in Wildwood, and the person didn't show up to share. And they like, I got drafted. And it's funny because the topic was, why are we here? You know. But back then, I thought how I got here was why I was here. You know, it's a difference. You know, my life is just, it's just wonderful. When like I said, I was sitting in the car before the meeting. And I got out the car to get ready to come in here, and it was a black little leather, like, wallet pouch thing on the ground. Right? So, you know, I did the little, I looked around, see if anybody saw me pick it up, right? So I picked it up. I said, well, I'll turn into lost and found. Do the right thing, Chris. You great. Sharon, why are you here? You know, so I'm walking slow. Right. I'm like, damn, well, maybe some ID in here. I need to look in and see if some ID. Right? Open it up, you know, some cigarettes, a little lifesaver, and then I open up a little pouch. And shit, man, I'm like, damn, you know, ID in here, right? Open the cigarettes up. You know, I'm like, Chris, what are you looking for real? You know, so I'm telling you the truth. Some stuff, man, I'm like, damn. You know, anyway, I turn it. So if you got some cigarettes missing, they ain't lost and found. But I'm just like, a lot of times, I'm here because I want to get better. I want to become a better person. And the only way I can do that is through God. That's just the thing. And, my job today it's funny because I had a type of job where I can't be an addict openly, you know? So it was real difficult when people would ask me this year. You know, before that. But I know that I just pray that we'll share here, stays here, whatever. And I'm just grateful for this convention, this whole process. And if there's anybody that's new in here, I left my book at home, so I had to buy another one. But if you're new in here and you need one of these, you're more than welcome to have this one. So, all right. So I just want to thank y'all for listening, and I'll keep coming back.